Did you hear the story about the preacher and the priest? And they were on either side of the road, and both of them were holding signs. One of them was holding a sign that said, "Turn around, the end is near." The other one was holding a sign that said, "This is your last warning." Pretty soon a truck comes barreling down the road, and fellow sticks his head out the window and he yells at them, "Leave me alone, you religious nuts." And pretty soon you hear a tire screeching and a big splash. And the preacher says to the priest, "You think maybe our sign should just say the bridge is out?" Now, I tell that to make a point, and here's the deal. The preaching task is made difficult because there are certain very important words that do not mean the same thing to all Christians. For example, the word kingdom can mean something very different in one church setting than it can in another. Or maybe when a person says, "Well, my church is spirit-filled," that may mean something very different in one church environment than it does when another person says, "My church is spirit-filled." So what do we mean when we talk about healing? And I thought before we get too deep into this topic that I ought to make sure that you understand what I am talking about. Now, I'm going to start off with a very important principle, and this undergirds my personal theology. And this is the principle, and I want you to write this down. All healing is divine healing. I don't know of any other kind of healing than divine healing. Just as all sickness finds its root in the sin that infects this world, I believe that all healing finds its root in God. I would think that the doctor was practicing pretty good theology, the one that had a sign in his waiting room that said, "God does the healing, I charge the fees." You see, God has graciously provided various avenues of physical healing that come into our lives. And I want to share with you four different kinds of avenues of healing. The first makes sense to us, natural healing. And what I mean by that is that God has marvelously designed our bodies with an amazing capacity to heal themselves. We have all had enough scrapes and bruises and cuts and colds in our lives to know that our bodies do an incredible job of attacking and remedying whatever is making them ill. We've also learned that we can all improve our health dramatically if we will change our lifestyles and eliminate harmful habits from our lives. Some of you have had the experience of giving up smoking or taking up exercising or being more moderate in your eating, and then you see your body respond and get healthier. In fact, I think that we would be completely stunned if we had any clue how much sickness our body resists and repels on a regular basis that we don't even know about. And it is all by the design of God. The psalmist was right. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God should be praised for natural healing. But another avenue of healing is medical healing. Now, let me just take a moment and stop here and say this, that I do not believe that using skilled doctors and medicines somehow reveals weak faith. Rather, I believe that the good gifts of the medical profession, just like all other good gifts, the Bible says in James 1 that they come from our gracious Father of lights. Any good gift that has blessed humanity is because God is good and has given it to us. For example, you have this very interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 20. It says that Hezekiah was ill and he was about to die. In fact, God sent the prophet Isaiah to him to tell him, "Get your house in order, Hezekiah, because you're about to die." So Isaiah goes to tell the king this news, and Hezekiah prays to the Lord, and he tells and reminds the Lord of all the times that he's attempted to be faithful in his life, and he weeps very bitterly, the scripture says. And as Isaiah was leaving the palace, God spoke to Isaiah and said, "Go back and tell King Hezekiah, I've heard his prayers, and I've decided to extend his life by 15 more years." So Isaiah goes back to tell the king this news, and he tells the king's servants to prepare a poultice of figs and place it on this boil that was causing his sickness. And they did so, and it says in scripture that the king was healed. So notice, even though God was announcing the healing, it was the medicines of their day that God used to bring about the healing. Well, just like when I would pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then I go to work, I am not showing a lack of faith that God is my provider when I go and work at my job to provide fit my family with bread on my table. Or when I pray, "God, heal me," and then I go and I see a doctor, I'm not displaying a lack of faith in God. The doctor may be the very means that God uses to bring about the healing. You have to remember Luke in Scripture. He was referred to as the great or the beloved physician. Paul told Timothy in Scripture, "Take a little wine for your stomach problems." Some people hold that if you go see a doctor or if you use medicines, then you're not having enough faith in God. And I would probably tend to agree with Richard Foster, who is a well-known author. He wrote a great book called Prayer, and he has a chapter in that book called Healing Prayer, and he makes a statement that to not see a doctor when you're sick, that might be a sign that you have great faith, but more likely than not, it is a sign of spiritual pride. There is a third avenue of healing that God makes available to us. This might not be the best word for it, but it's what I'm calling mental healing. And what I mean by that is this. Just as people often can think themselves into sickness, people are often able to think themselves into better health. All healers use the power of suggestion to one extent or another. All of them do. There's been study after study where medical professionals can use medicine and a placebo and give them to the people in this study, and they find that the people who are taking the placebo recover just as well as the people who took the medicine. Why is that? Well, because they believe they were going to get better. Now, that should not surprise us because the Bible says keeping a positive attitude is good for your health. Look at this from Proverbs. Proverbs 17, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." How about this from Proverbs 14? "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Studies have shown that a cheerful attitude actually affects the adrenal cortex and it increases the effectiveness of the body to have a better immune system. Have you ever heard someone say, "They're grouchy because they're sick all the time"? Well, maybe they're sick all the time because they're grouchy. Remember, we are not disconnected entities. We are a tri-unity, body, soul, and spirit. You can't put poison in your spirit and not expect that to affect your body. That's why in a lot of cases, the mind has got to be healed before the body can recover. Then the avenue that we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about, and that is supernatural healing. This is where God intervenes and he changes what would be the natural consequence or circumstance for his own purposes and glory. Now, even here, I've got to be very careful because just because a healing is supernatural does not necessarily mean it is from God. People who have been converted to Christ from the occult religions report that people experience healings in their practices as well. I would have no reason to doubt that. In Acts chapter 8, there's the story of Simon the sorcerer, and the scriptures say that he impressed people with his magic and his works that he did. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 refers to the lawless one that we're told will deceive people with counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. I'm not surprised. I don't have any reason to doubt that Satan would try to deceive people with works of healings. You see, Satan can only counterfeit what is real. He would only try to counterfeit what he knows God is actually doing. And what we need to understand is that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And it is significant that the strategy that he is using to destroy the works of the devil has a marked emphasis on supernatural healings. Jesus seemed to possess an almost hostile attitude towards sickness. He saw sickness as the fallout from the first Adam's sin. And as the second Adam, he would not allow it to go unopposed. Look at Matthew 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And you're going to find all through the Gospels, all through the book of Acts, this connection of preaching the good news and healing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And then in Matthew chapter 14, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. I think it's kind of interesting to notice some of the different ways that Jesus imparted supernatural healings. As you would expect, you just can't tie God down to any one way of doing anything. Now, usually when Jesus would heal, he would speak the word of healing. Or he would speak the word and he would touch the person that was receiving the supernatural healing. On a couple of occasions, he touched the person without doing any speaking. There were other times that he healed people that were at a distance, so he did not speak to them. He did not touch them. He just simply said, they have been healed, and the person received the healing, even though they were many miles away. If Jesus healed in the same manner, in the same way with every person, I believe that we would try to systematize that and take that and make that some kind of a spiritual law and say, this is the official way we need to ask for healing. Well, Jesus wouldn't let you peg him down that way. He did not heal all people the same way, but he did heal all the people he intended to heal. He never engaged with a battle of sickness and lost. But the question that we're going to be asking this morning is this: has Jesus lost a willingness to heal people today? We are never going to seek boldly what we're not sure that Christ would still be offering. So to determine if Jesus still heals now, we ought to determine why he healed then. So what I want to do is I want to show you at least five reasons. This is not an exhaustive list. There's probably more, but at least five clear reasons from Scripture why Jesus healed. Here's the first reason. Jesus healed to authenticate his identity. Maybe the chief reason that he healed was to announce and to verify that he is the Messiah. Look at these scriptures with me. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in prison and he's wondering, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he the one that we've been announcing? So he sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that we're looking for? And look at how Jesus responds in Matthew 11. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus' healing ministry was his credential to John the Baptist that he was the Messiah. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, this is what he said in verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And as you read the Gospels, this is significant. Jesus' critics never denied that he had the power to heal. That would have made them just look really foolish. So what they denied was that his power to heal was from God. So they gave the credit instead to demonic sources. When Jesus came to his hometown in Nazareth, it says he did not do many miracles of healing there because he was surprised at their lack of faith. It wasn't surprised at their lack of faith that he was the Messiah or that he could do miracles, excuse me. It was their lack of faith that he was the Messiah, even after they saw him do miracles. And Jesus was not going to do miracles for people who had no intention, after watching these signs, put their faith in him as the Messiah. So he says to the Jews in John chapter 10, verse 38, but if I do it, even though you don't believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Why did Jesus heal people? To give evidence to who he was. So let me ask you a question. Does Jesus still want people to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Another reason that Jesus healed. Jesus healed to illustrate his authority. Jesus' healing miracles should be interpreted as spiritual acts of warfare. They were assaults on Satan's pseudo-kingdom. They were proof that the power of God was breaking in and setting evil to flight. He sent out the 72 on a mission and he said, I want you to go and I want you to preach the good news of the kingdom and I want you to heal the sick. And then they came back after that mission and they were excited and they told Jesus of all the many miracles that they did and all the preaching that they had done. And in that description that you see there, it says, Jesus said, and I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. They were attacking the pseudo kingdom of the enemy. And Jesus could only heal because he possessed authority over the root cause of sickness. That was very clear in a particular healing. They brought a man to Jesus who was paralyzed, and it says that Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven. And the religious leaders that were there watching this got very upset, and they thought, he can't say that. And look at what it says in Matthew chapter 9, knowing their thoughts. Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. Jesus could not heal anybody if he did not have authority over what created sickness in the first place. His healings made a statement that he was here to reverse the effects of the fall. Peter summed up Jesus' life this way in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing, listen to this phrase, all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So, has Jesus' agenda changed? Is he still not about the business of destroying the work of the devil? Another reason that Jesus healed. Jesus healed to demonstrate his compassion. The Greeks had the notion in the days of the early Christians of what they called the impassibility of God, which basically meant God does not feel. God has no emotions. True spirituality, according to the Greeks, was to be a raw stoic, no emotion. One reason that Jesus healed was to reveal a God who does feel, who does care, who does hurt, a God who enters into our pain. Look at Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touch this man who had leprosy. And he said, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus healed two blind men on a road that were begging him to have mercy on them. It says Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. As you read through that text in Matthew chapter 20, the way that it reads is that Jesus intended to walk right on by them. But because the scriptures would say he was on his way to Jerusalem, but his compassionate heart would not let him just continue walking. So he stopped and gave them this healing. We all know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, but the context is that Jesus was actually crossing the lake to get away from people. And he gets to the other side, and there was this large group of people who were waiting on him. And it says in Matthew 14, verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. There is one very interesting healing in Mark chapter 3. Jesus is in the synagogue. It's on the Sabbath, and he sees this man that has a shriveled hand. And the Bible says the critics were just sitting there. They just knew Jesus was going to do something, and they were wondering, is he going to heal this guy? And it says that this, and this is the only time I can find where Jesus healed while being angry. It says that he was angry, he was distressed at the hardness of their hearts. And in short, it upset Jesus that these people could see a man just like he could and not have compassion on him. So you know what Jesus did. He healed the man. In fact, I find it interesting, Jesus healed at least six times in the Gospels on the Sabbath, which tells me a couple of things. Number one, go back to the point on authority. Jesus has authority. He has authority over the Sabbath. Don't try to make rules for Jesus about the Sabbath when he is the Lord of the Sabbath. But second, it tells me something about his compassion. This man had a shriveled hand. I mean, if he's waited this long in his life with a shriveled hand, he could wait one more day. This is not a life or death situation. Jesus could have waited and healed him, not on the Sabbath, and avoided all of the criticism. But you see, his compassionate heart would not allow him to just look at this man and not do what his heart was longing to do for him. And I think it says something about the modern church, because we talk a lot about the power of Jesus, but we don't talk a lot about his compassion. His ascension, his exaltation to the right hand of God, has that somehow modified Jesus' mercy now? Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 4, that he is our merciful, faithful, and compassionate high priest? Has that changed? Another reason that Jesus healed was to validate someone's faith. He was often moved to heal in honor of great and unexpected faith. There's a story in Mark 5 of the woman that had the issue with the blood. And she sneaks up behind Jesus and she touches his garment. And this power enters into her body and she's healed. And Jesus later exposes this woman, but he exposed her so that he could show people her faith and commend her. And it says in Mark 5, verse 34, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. There's a story in Mark 10 of, you know, we call him blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10, verse 52, Jesus told him, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus even validated faith, not of people that were being healed themselves, but of people that wanted somebody else to be healed. Remember the story of the friends that bring the guy on the mat, the paralytic, to Jesus? They lower him through the roof, and Jesus was impressed with the faith of the friends of this person. And it is awesome to me to think that I can somehow move the heart of Jesus on behalf of somebody else. Does Jesus still not desire intercession? Does he still not respond to and honor faith in people's lives? And one final reason that I believe Jesus healed from the scriptures was to stimulate God's praise. Everything that Jesus did was intended to honor and glorify his Father in heaven. And he fully expected every individual that ever received a healing from him that they would glorify God in return. Remember in Luke 17, the story of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus, and Jesus told them to go and present themselves to the high priest in the temple, and just one of them ends up coming back to Jesus. And look what he says in Luke 17. "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" See, Jesus expected people that were healed would glorify God. There's another story of a woman that had this issue with her back, and she was bent over and crippled up, and she couldn't straighten up, and Jesus healed her. And it says in Luke 13, "Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." Now, let me be very quick to affirm something with you. A sick Christian has much more reason to glorify God than a healthy pagan. God is to be glorified whether or not the healing comes. But Jesus did heal to stimulate God's praise. And is there any reason to doubt that that is no longer a motive for Jesus? I mean, of all of the things that we've discussed this morning, are they somehow rooted in some historical basis or circumstance? Is there any passage in the Bible that says Jesus no longer heals? How could that be true? If one of the covenant names of God in Scripture in the Old Testament is Yahweh Rapha, there are 7 covenant names of God in the Old Testament. And that would be a very great series to do, by the way, on studying the covenant names of God. Maybe we'll do that in 2014. But these covenant names of God describe an eternal blessing of the covenant. He will always be our provider. He will always be our righteousness. He will always be the Lord who heals. Yahweh, Rapha. Scripture does not say he was the Lord who heals. The Bible says he is. I am the Lord who heals. So I kind of wrap all this up with this conviction. The healings of Jesus are recorded in the Gospels not to tell us who Jesus was. They're to tell us who Jesus is. Now, I know what you're thinking, but not everybody is healed that asks for healing. Well, we could stay here for another hour, or you can come back next Sunday, and we're going to get into that topic next week, because it's a very hard thing to deal with, and it is a tension that we have got to live with. We believe that Jesus still heals, but I do not believe it is always God's will to heal. But I do believe it is always God's will that we ask to be healed. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. King Asa was diseased, and it says this: in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from physicians. And it is clear in this verse that heaven is displeased. It is not displeased that Asa sought help from physicians. It is displeased that only he sought help from physicians. He did not go to the Lord with his sickness. I do not know why all people are not healed who ask God to heal them, but I do know why some are. Because the doctor is still in business. The irony is that the songs that we sing are more confident than our own personal theology. We have sung for years that Jesus heals, and we've sung it a lot more boldly, frankly, than we would actually proclaim it individually. And how many times have we sat in this room and we have sung that we believe he is here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive? The good news is that today, if you need power, if you need grace, if you need healing, the doctor will see you. He's still in business. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. And if you have a decision, this is the time to make that decision public. We're going to sing a song together. And why don't you come forward as we sing? Would you stand up as we get ready to do that?